Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank for your presence.
Amen.
We just pray, God, that you would visit us in this place, in this gathering. We pray for the wind of heaven to blow in the midst of our lives and blow us, God, into your service. Father, we just pray that you would touch us in the hearing of our ears, in the seeing of our eyes. Touch us in our hearts, O God, that it might burn with your holy fire. Father, we just commit this hour into your hand. We ask for the flooding of the Holy Spirit in this place. And to quicken our feet, God, even as we sang tonight, to make them like hinds' feet.
Amen.
And to be upon the high places. So quicken us, O God, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for the energy. I want to start this evening with a statement. Call of duty. I want to ask a question. Do you know your place?
Amen.
Hallelujah. As we were singing these songs, you have girded me with strength. I'm hearing the assembly.
Amen.
Of the army of God. And we have a historical account throughout the Bible and past the pages of the Bible into recent history of the church as they have ran with the Word. They have suffered for the sake of the Word, and many of them died in this battle for the sake of the Word. Hallelujah. And there are bright spots throughout the history. We have the testimonial count in the Bible of the many mighty works of individuals as well as collective groups. You have the historical bright spots in many books that are available to us. And these things, and I don't tend to detract from these incidents. They're all part of the great war. Hallelujah. But there's something that God is doing in this hour that is as the grand finale. And as it has been in times past, that there are accounts and testimonies on individual basis, the thing that God is doing now is on a collective basis.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that collective is to manifest into the body of Christ, or as the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the question is, the reality of it is there is a call to duty to all of those that have heard this word, this message of sonship, and there's a necessity to know your place, to know my place. Hallelujah. Now, when I speak of knowing your place, I don't necessarily mean, well, am I this or am I that? Because the truth of the matter is, for me, I don't really know, and I'm not really concerned about it as much as I just want to be part of it. Hallelujah. And he who made the body, I am sure, is quite capable of fitting me wherever it is that he would have me to be, in whatever capacity that is to be. Hallelujah. What I want to do is start with 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. The scripture says here, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." Hallelujah. I'm going to have to write small, so please forgive me if you can't read it from back there. But I have a lot of material. Give, what is it, diligence? But in this day and age, with the marvel of our handy electronic devices, we can take a picture on our phone and have it preserved. It's real handy. I use it all the time when I'm working on a car. If I need to remember how something goes back together, I'll take a picture of it as an aid. Hallelujah. I like this verse. It gives you, there's a lot of material here, a lot of substance. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fail." Hallelujah. If we begin to look at some of these words, to say, for instance, calling. In the Greek, it means an invitation. Hallelujah. Comes from the word kalesis, which comes from the word kaleo. And you can do a word search again with your handy electronic device and find these words throughout the Bible. So your calling is an invitation. And then again, when you look at the word election, it says divine selection. Hallelujah. Or we can say chosen. So there's a distinction then between being invited and then also being selected. Amen. Hallelujah. When we look at the word calling, so we are to make our invitation sure, right? And we are to make our selection, or we are to ensure that we are considered for selection and can be chosen. Hallelujah. When we consider the word calling here, kaleo or kalesis, an invitation, I want to look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to start with. I think it starts something like, "I therefore, the free man of the Lord..." "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," just checking you, "beseech you that you walk," what? "Worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Hallelujah. This, when you look at here, when it says vocation, it's actually the same word in the Greek as calling in 2 Peter 1:10. Hallelujah. Now, vocation is a designation or a destination, particularly. Right? Vocation. a designation or a destination. Right? Hallelujah. So when we received Jesus as Savior, it was with intent, was it not? To bring us to a certain destination. Right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So that destination you say being Christ, which is true. But let me give you another. I'm going to flip this around. Let me give you another picture, if I may. Tell me if this looks familiar. So where in this diagram is our destination? The Holy of Holies. Right? All right. Praise the Lord. So he said, I, Paul, the prisoner of... I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. So walk worthy of the destination. So in order to get here, there are certain criteria of which we have to meet that will determine each one of us as being worthy to reach this destination.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. But Paul, he writes this as if to say, even as I am a prisoner, so do ye likewise. And I think he said somewhere else. He said, follow me as what? As I follow Christ. Hallelujah. So it's not following Paul for the sake of following Paul and becoming like Paul because that's what Paul is, but it's following Paul as Paul is following Christ. Hallelujah. So the aspect of Paul becoming a prisoner was in the aspect of the designation that God had bestowed upon him as Paul. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's consider for a moment prisoner. Can we say... consider a prisoner, we would say caught, right? If you would consider a prisoner, let's consider what a prisoner would be. He's caught, right? Can we say confined? Caught, confined. Could we say compelled? Compelled into a lifestyle. As a prisoner, is it not a lifestyle?
Oh, yeah.
As a prisoner, you are restricted and confined to a certain lifestyle.
Yeah.
But let's put something in front of all this that qualifies it for everybody. Willful.
That's right.
See, it's a choice.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So here now, what I'm doing, Lord willing, is expanding and giving some dimension to the reality of what is my calling. What is your calling? Hallelujah. So he says there, Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vocation, wherein ye are kaleo, or called. Hallelujah. Just an interesting side note, in addition to the aspect of a prisoner and being caught, confined, compelled into a lifestyle, hallelujah, there's two references in the Bible with respect to Jesus, and one is in Matthew 4:1, where it says here, And then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger. So there's this, the thing I want to capitalize on is the first verse where it says here that Jesus was led up by the Spirit. Okay? Make a note of that. Now, you turn you over to Mark in the first chapter again, and the 12th verse. Say, standing in the 11th verse, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How many of us want to hear those words? Amen. Yeah. Verse 12. And immediately the Spirit descendeth. The Spirit what?
Driveth
him into the wilderness. Hallelujah. So you see, there are two dynamics with respect to. Can I say being inducted, being recruited, being given an opportunity to come into the army of God? Hallelujah. One is the aspect of being led, and then in the aspect of being led, there is an act of surrender on our part to that leading. Right? Hallelujah. Which gives the right of access wherein the Spirit then can begin to drive, if you will, hallelujah, into the deeper things of God. Hallelujah. And maybe you've heard me talk about it before, but in the army, there are divisions and there are, can I say, classes of the types of armed forces. So you have the general basic assembly of the army, but within the army you also have I'm thinking more of the Navy SEALs. I don't know how else to call them. The elite forces, thank you. you have the elite. Now, the thing about those divisions, they are all available to the whole army. And the way you enter in is by volunteering to begin to participate in the training process. But it's the training process that is constructed in such a way to determine whether the individual really has the goods to finish the course. Hallelujah. And so there is something of this principle when it speaks of him being led as well as being driven. Hallelujah. And it's the same principle that confronts you and I in the midst of our daily circumstances and that particular tribulation that we are being subjected to. Hallelujah. It's the design to push us, hallelujah, to break through. And you know, it's interesting when they talk about these things on the natural plane, even the natural man knows that there's something in the mind that when they break through in the mind, they can take control over their environment, their body, irrespective of the environment or the situations they are in. Hallelujah. In other words, when they are, I mean, these guys are put in 50 degree water for hours on end and being pushed so that they might find that place in their mind where their mind begins to overcome the temperature of the water, irrespective of what the rest of their body is saying. Hallelujah. Invitation then, the calling then is translated as vocation in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And it's all in context with Paul speaking of himself as the prisoner of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then admonishing us, you and I, admonishing me, to then walk worthy of the calling. Hallelujah. Let's continue to give dimension, if you will, to the word here. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 4 again, and actually it's just a couple verses down. In verse 4, it says here, there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are what? Called in one hope of your calling. Hallelujah. Now what is hope? Is it something that you see? So we were, see, where were we? We were Ephesians 4:4, and it speaks of hope. Hope. Romans, let's see what Romans says about hope. Is it Romans 8? I want 8, 24 and 25. It says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Hallelujah. So, you are called in one hope of your calling. So we begin to get some definition and some dimension of hope. So if we are hoping for what is not seen, what is it that we are looking for that we haven't seen? Is it what's in here? What was in here? What came? What would come here? The mercy seat was there, but the presence of God would come and meet man face to face here. Right? There's another scripture verse that says something is the anchor of the soul.
Anchor?
Yes. Is it Hebrews? Let's see what it says. Uh, Let's see. Okay, well, let's, yes, 6:19, let's read. Seventeen, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, who's the heirs? Is it us?
Absolutely.
More abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability. Oh my goodness. Immutability. That's closer. The promise of immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Hallelujah. We might have a strong consolation. Somebody might look that up. What's consolation? Who have fled for refuge to lay upon, to lay hold upon the hope. What? Where is it? The hope that is where? Set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth in, which entereth into that within the veil. Hallelujah. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. Sure.
Paraclesis, or paraclesis, imploration, imploration, solace, comfort, consolation, exhortation, entreaty.
Solace and comfort. Hallelujah. Does anybody need solace and comfort tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, this is a very good verse. So hope. Back in Ephesians 4:4, you are called in one hope of your calling. Hallelujah. So hope is something that is yet out in front of us or our destination. Hallelujah. So we have, say we have calling here as in invited. Invited. Here we would have definition. As it pertains to vocation, we can put hope. Here also begins to give it depth and dimension. Hallelujah. Let's see. Another scripture verse. So we're reading Romans. Hope is that which is not seen. 1 John 3:2 speaks on this wise. 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it what? It doth appear? Just checking. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. So it doth not yet appear, but we have hope that when he does appear, we will be like him, or we will be in the election. Hallelujah. Philippians is another verse here. Let's come down to Philippians 3. Verse 14. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Where? Hallelujah. So here in Philippians, let's see, what was it, 3 and 14? It's called the high calling, right? So it's gone from calling as an invited to giving it a dimensional destination. The question we ask ourselves, what do you want? Do you want good? Do you want better? Or do you want the best? Hallelujah. So it says, high calling, where? Of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the Bible speaks of Yeshua as Jesus Christ, and then another scripture it'll turn it around and speak of Him as Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. In one context, when it speaks of Him as Jesus Christ, it would refer to Him as the one who came from Mary, and as one who is our brother. Amen? But when it begins to refer to Him as Christ Jesus, it's referring to the same person, but now in the designation of His calling and His election. As Christ, as part of Christ, as designated as the head. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. What does it say? Yes. It says, verse 1, it says, chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass, and He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. So I ask three questions. Who gave? What did He give? And to whom did He give it?
God gave.
Who gave? God gave. What did He give?
The revelation.
The revelation. And to whom did He give it?
Jesus Christ.
To Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the revelation of Christ in you, God gave to Jesus, His Son. And we see that that designation brought Him to the position of head. Right? But in the aspect of being head, what is the head without the rest of the body? Of which you and I now have opportunity to also receive of God the revelation of Christ, wherein we might become partakers of that part, that piece, of whatever it is in the body. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says in Philippians 3:14, the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now when you consider this, the dynamics of the whole situation, it has not been flying by the seat of your pants, so to speak. you know. You encounter a problem, you make a design change to resolve the problem. But it has always been there since the beginning, right? The aspect of God to have a body. When he said, "Let us make man after our likeness and after our image," sorry, I flipped him around. It was more than just the individual beings that he was after, but he was after a complete unit. Amen? Hallelujah. We look at the technology here and the things we can do, right? And the ability to be connected on a certain level. Can you imagine on a spiritual level you and I being connected in the functions of the body and in constant communication with the head? I mean, just look at your own anatomy. Simple things. Comb your hair, brush your teeth. Now, your fingers on your hand might do the majority of the work, or would appear to do the majority of the work. But what about all of the parts and pieces? I don't know what's all in there. Hallelujah. That move in conjunction with just getting your fingers to appropriate the brush or the toothbrush. You understand? Hallelujah. So it says, so when we speak about calling, we're talking about being invited, essentially, invited to sonship. Hallelujah. It hasn't been any other objective. Now, it's been muddied and diluted along the way. But the truth of the matter is, from the very beginning, when he initiated creation and the whole process that has followed since, this has always been the priority, to give an invitation to sonship.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 1 John, back in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, what does it say? We say this, we like this verse, it's a good verse. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we," what? "Should be called." Now what does it say? It says, "should be." So there's something that has to be proven, so that it gets shifted from should be to "you are my son." Hallelujah. "That we should be called the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Well, right there's your criteria. How well does the world know you? And I suppose in a loose gauge, a rough figure, the more compatible that we are with the world, it is more likely to be incompatible with the opportunity to be a son. But the converse would work in the same. The more compatible, or the least compatible we are with the world, the more compatible and useful will we become to the purpose of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when we speak of give diligence to make your calling, what we are saying then is give diligence to the invitation by which you have received, I have received, to enter into covenant relationship with God that brings us to the reality of sonship. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. But we find that, as wonderful it is to have an invitation. And we all have one. You know where you got it? And when you got it? The day you came through... What is this? The day you came through the gate and you were confronted by the brazen laver. I'm sorry, the brazen altar. That's the next one. I'm jumping on you. Hallelujah. So this is where we receive that invitation, and it was delivered to us by... How was it delivered? I'll give you a little hint. It was delivered to us by the blood, right? Because it was the blood that quickened your soul to becoming a living soul. Hallelujah. So the invitation, we received the invitation when the blood touched my soul. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. So give diligence to make your invitation sure, your invitation and your election sure. Hallelujah. So this election, it takes it up another notch, if you will. How many separations
are there
in this diagram? Is there three? We would say the outer court is one separation, right? It separates you and I from out here, or we say the world, right? It was designed in such a manner as to shut man in. Hallelujah. Not in the fashion of do this, don't do that, but in the aspect of bringing man into a place of communion and fellowship with God. Hallelujah. So we would say this is the first place of division. We find here then another position of separation with respect to the holy place as it becomes more confining and would separate you and I from this aspect of what is outer court. Now, it doesn't mean you leave behind the principles that we have gained from the position of the outer court. Those are something that should be incorporated into the fabric of your life. Right? Hallelujah. And become foundational in the aspect of the operation of holy place. But then we find that there is yet another position of separation on into the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. So divine selection. Election means divine selection or to be chosen. Praise the Lord. Matthew. Let's look at... Matthew 22 and verse 11, verse 11 through 14. Now this is the parable of the king making. It's a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and I'm sure you are familiar with this. The process of inviting and acquiring the guests. So verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou in thither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. I get that from my kids sometimes. Hallelujah. And then the king said unto his servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 14, For many are called, but few are chosen. Hallelujah. Now, I ask a question for myself. If election speaks of chosen, I am chosen from what? Hallelujah. Because there is, as we were saying, there is a distinction from the ecclesia, the ecclesia, did I say that right? Which is the word for church. Right? And upon this rock I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. But then we find that out of the ecclesia is the electos. Right? The eclectos. Matthew. Where does it say? Matthew 24. Matthew 24, Brother Mark was talking about tribulation. Verse 21, And then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but what? For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Hallelujah. So the word there in Matthew 24 is the word in the Greek that is ek. Is it lek? Dos. Right? Hallelujah. Which is the same word in Matthew 22 when it says, Many are called, but few are chosen. It's the same word, electos. Hallelujah. So the electos, and if you break it down, you have ek, which is out of... Is it out of, and then the, I can't ever say that second root word, eklegomene or something of that. Out of chosen. So the chosen are those that are taken out of those that came out. Okay? When we come into the outer court, you become partaker of what? The ek. How do you spell that? Ecclesia.
Ekklesia.
Ecclesia. Hallelujah. Which is the ek again, right? Out of what?
Came out of the world.
Out of what? If your existence was out here in the world, in darkness, and now it is in here by virtue of the blood of Jesus, And you are now partaker of the ecclesia. You are out of what? You came out of the world. Right? Out of the world and become the ecclesia. Hallelujah. But as the ecclesia, it's the intention to become the electos.
Ek-lek-tos.
So there is a coming out of the come-outers in order to become the electos. Right? Hallelujah. So when it speaks of making your election sure, it's speaking about electos, or being chosen, hallelujah, in order to be a partaker. All right, coming back to Matthew 22. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. What is garment? It's a covering, right? Now, in the context of this specific wedding, it seems as though there was a specific garment that needed to be appropriated, right? Now, for you and I, what becomes our garment? Is it not the appropriation of the word of which you hear? Right? So that means that there are other kinds of words that will produce other kinds of garments. Right? So it would be very important to hear the right word, because we want a specific garment. Hallelujah. So the king came in, he saw that he wedding garment, and he saith unto him, friend.
Yes.
Now, can we stress this a little bit? Do you think that the word friend was just a convenient word?
No.
Or do you think that it was something to convey a certain thought? Right? Hallelujah. You know, would not be necessarily considered common. And not something that God would give out very liberally. Right? It seems as though there are certain criteria to be met in order to be called friend by God. Right? Let's see. What is it? James? Is it James? Gives us account of Abraham. Yes. James 2:23. I'll find my book of James here. Hiding somewhere. Yes, 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, what? Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was, what? He was called friend of God. Hallelujah. So, we start to paint a picture here, if you will.
Jesus also told you to scare your friend.
Yes. The same as he is calling this person.
Exactly.
In Matthew 22. So there was something of a criteria, a potential, that as that individual could be meeting. To qualify also as friend of God. Hallelujah. But if we want to really guarantee it, right? And not be like Judas. It says we have to what? Believe God that it in turn would then be imputed. It's interesting when you look at these things up. When it speaks about imputing, it means to take inventory. So there's something that God would add to me that in turn becomes, as it says, a garment of righteousness. Amen? Hallelujah. So the scripture gives us a criteria as to being what it is to be called friend of God. But I want to look a little closer at it in Genesis. And actually, I want to go to the 18th chapter. And the Lord appeared, this is the verse 1, unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. Hallelujah. I don't know. I see things sometimes a little funny. I see a lot of type and shadow in the Bible. And when I'm reading this, now this is all in the context of Abraham as a friend of God. Huh? I don't know. Have you noticed? It says in verse 1, and the Lord appeared. As in one Lord. Right? And he sat in the tent door, and he says, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there was three men. So at some point or position, the reality of God, as in one, there is one God, came to Moses, as it were, in three parts. As in these three men. Or Abraham, right? Hallelujah. But the thing I was looking at is, where was he when he had this experience? What does it say? He was at the door of the tent. What is this? The gate. What is this? It's a door, isn't it? Hallelujah. So there was Abraham. I mean, do you see what's happening? I mean, he's having a visitation from God himself. And it speaks of it as the fullness of God. Three is fullness. Right? Hallelujah. Now it says that he ran. He ran to meet. Now, if we consider the door as being here, and if we saw God, saw the reality, the fullness of God, which way are you going to run? Wouldn't you run this way? Hallelujah. Because is this not where the fullness is? Right? Now, here's the clincher in all of it. Scratch out out of your Bible there where it says chapter 18. Just put your finger over it. Jump up about three verses and begin to read. And read it in a continuum into chapter 18. Say verse 26 in chapter 17. In the selfsame day was Abraham circumcised, and Ishmael his son, and all the men of his house, born in the house, and bought with money from the stranger, were circumcised with him. Isn't that interesting? See, the aspect of chapters and numbers were just simply something that was added in to help us navigate the Bible. Now, divinely enough, sometimes the numbers line up with the context of the Scripture. And I don't mean to take it away as if we need to remove the numbers. Hallelujah. But it's interesting that after the circumcision, God appears to Abraham. Right? Hallelujah. So, let's see. Well, I didn't write it down, but there's a scripture. There's a scripture that speaks about the circumcision of the heart. I believe it was Romans 2:29. Let's see. What does it say? But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I think there's another verse that also speaks about that. Is it Hebrews? But I think you get the get the idea, right? So if we want to see God, and we want to do like Abraham, and acquire the kind of relationship that Abraham had, because God testified, or John testified, that Abraham, well, God testified, did he not? I think it's in the 19th chapter of Genesis. Oh, no, it's in the 18th chapter. Say in verse 16, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. This is God.
Amen.
This is God testifying about Abraham. For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring Abraham that which he has spoken to him. Hallelujah. So we see that with respect to election, that it pertains to, how do you spell it? Circumcision. C-I-S. C-U-E-M.
C-I-S-I-O-N.
Of the heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that we can be qualified. and considered in the divine selection process.
Hallelujah.
And I'm sure you've heard this before, but you consider Gideon and hit the 300. There is a very good example of being divinely selected, chosen.
Hallelujah.
It was how they drank the water.
Yes.
Right? Oh, boy. How did they drink the water?
Yeah.
Get out their portable Berkey, ran it through the filter, got out their Army-issued stainless steel cup, and began to drink.
Hallelujah.
They drank it in a specific manner. It was with their hands, right?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. I've reached the end of my paper, so.
Eric, this word friend is actually two words for friend. The word used for in the wedding feast and when he was addressing is actually two words for friend. One is heteros, which means fellow, friend, or clansman. And this was the word that he was referring to Judas and also to the one in the wedding feast. The word friend that he was referring to in James when he was talking about Abraham is philos, which means actively fond, friendly, or friend. So we're not talking about the same relationships.
Praise the Lord.